Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Private Officer Beat Radio with Rick McCann at the microphone. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm so glad that you're joining us one more time for another special program. Private Officer International is sponsoring the show, and Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, is producing the show, and I'm the host of the show, Rick McCann. I'm glad that all of you are listening live and by streaming, downloading. Many of you listen to it days, weeks, and even months after the original broadcast, but we're so thankful that all of you are doing that. I know that many of you are also sharing it with your co-workers and supervisors and others, and I really do appreciate that as well. Today on the program, we have several things lined up for you. We do want to talk, of course, about all the breaking news and other things that are happening. But every week, we try to bring you some special parts to the program, special segments. Today, we're going to be honoring a school security officer who spent 35 years of her life protecting a school in Florida. And we're going to be talking about that very special lady coming up. Unfortunately, on the downside, the negative side, we also have to tell you about three security officers who have been found guilty of on-duty crimes this past week. And then we'll be talking more about what to be expecting in the upcoming months. We've had to adjust some of the scheduling of some of the training locations and roundtables. We'll be telling you more about that in our next segment. But it's still going to be happening. But because of things beyond our control, such as people not able to participate, or maybe it's too early in the year, we're kind of rescheduling and pushing things around, and we'll tell you about that. We have a great opportunity right now, really, to do something special as private security officers. I've recently been talking about the interviews that I have conducted with Time Magazine, the Boston Globe, and several local and regional news sources. Just over the weekend, late Friday, I was called very late into the evening by a reporter that wanted to talk about the number of security officer deaths compared to the number of law enforcement officer deaths and how they vary and why the numbers seem to be higher for security. And I explained to them that, you know, with private security, most security officer deaths happen in the line of duty while they are trying to either prevent a crime or to take someone into custody. Many law enforcement officer deaths also happen during those situations, but many also occur during traffic fatalities when they're in pursuit or training exercises, things that private security don't normally involve themselves in. And I was explaining to them the higher level of danger for private security because most work alone. Many are still unarmed, undertrained. I really do believe in the number of reporters I've been talking to in the last 6 months. I really do believe that that message is beginning to ring true with many reporters, and that's a plus for us. And hopefully, the article being written by Time Magazine will be a positive one for private security, and hopefully it will come out soon. I did expect for it to be out before the end of last quarter. The reporter told me that it's a multiple segment type story, and it's a little longer story than normal, so they do hope that it will be published very, very soon. Articles about private security usually is not very positive. Even when I have that opportunity to interview with the writer of the story, the reporter. They do sometimes put a spin, a negative spin on the story, where they don't tell all of that information. But I think this time, the last few interviews that I've had, I believe that the story is becoming clear, the facts are becoming clear, and the story should be in a positive light for security. But with that being said, I do have to say that we still have a very huge problem with security officers being undertrained and underqualified, and that has set the stage for many security officers, more than probably ever, being arrested for excessive use of force, violence, going beyond their authority, and that's just a lack of training and experience, and unfortunately it's putting them in a bad, bad situation. When I come back from this first break, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what I'm proposing and what I believe has to happen in the private security field. And anyone who opposes the plan, that's fine. But if we're going to really, truly protect ourselves, our employees, and be able to defend our actions when we do have to use force, then we have to have a number of things behind us. Also today, in part three of the value of private security and how private security is that link in the chain for local, statewide, nationwide, and even worldwide security, we'll be talking about the types of services and the value that they bring in the security field. We are going to take a quick break. When I come back, like I said, we have a whole lot of things to talk about. Of course, we have a lot of breaking news. And I want to give you a little heads up on a lady who spent 35 years protecting children at one school. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab-resistant vests or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code, 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, one in six children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because one in six children in poverty is one too many. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Welcome back to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann. Before we went to the break, we were talking about how times are changing, and yet we're not changing with those times. And it's the same song that I sing over and over again, but there's a reason for that. A lot of security officers are truly trying to do the job the right way. They're trying to make a living, and they're trying to go home to their family, just like any employee of any company, and just like every law enforcement officer does across the country. Everybody wants to go home. They just want to do the job and go home. Unfortunately, we're in a profession these days where it's getting tougher to just observe and report. In fact, as I was talking with the reporter on Friday evening, I was explaining that the old concept was that you would observe and report. Most of the security jobs back then was all access control. You were at a gatehouse, a control gate. You were providing access control into a property, signing people in and out, maybe at a high-rise office complex. It was very little enforcement, per se, other than loss prevention, who has always made detentions of shoplifters, dishonest employees, and those committing crimes within the store. Physical security oftentimes was just there to do access control, observe, and report. That philosophy really is no longer. I pointed to the reporter on Friday several companies who spend 100% of their time doing mobile patrols, including a company in Houston, Texas, and a company in Chicago. We have highlighted this company in Chicago a number of times. They patrol like 15 or 20% of the city, conducting mobile patrols, marked vehicle patrols, armed security patrols, and a company in Houston that does the same thing for several very large communities within the county, as well as response to alarms and calls for service. A friend of mine who also has a security company, they have always responded to calls for service. What do I mean by that? They get calls from apartments, from convenience stores, hotels that are their clients in South Carolina. And when those calls come into their dispatch, their patrol units are dispatched out to respond to those calls. I suggested to the reporter on Friday that they do a ride along with a couple of those companies so they can really see how security has changed. It's not static guard, observe and report. Now we're out in the field. We're visible. We're contacting a lot more people than ever before. We're enforcing the rules, the regulations, and the laws. We're helping wherever we can. We're detaining people, sometimes even arresting people. And so times have changed, but the training requirements, the recruitment methods, the equipment and the all of the other things that go along with providing professional patrol and response hasn't changed much. We talk many times that security still today is stuck in the staffing service business, where when a client calls and they want a security officer for 8 hours a day and they want them to be unarmed and they want to be posted at a gate or they want to walk around and just observe and report, we don't educate the client to the point where we tell them that area really needs two armed security officers and these are the reasons. Crime is high and these are the statistics. Most security companies will just take that order just like a staffing company would and they'll go with it with no changes, with no concerns for the safety of the employee, with no concern for the violence in the neighborhood, and with no concerns that the employee might screw up because they don't have the training, but they might have to make a detention or confront someone enforcing the rules. And there was a really prime example that happened last year where a security officer at an apartment complex was enforcing the hours at a swimming pool. The swimming pool closed at 9 p.m. and he was there to lock it up, and people were giving him a hard time because it was, you know, very hot and muggy and sticky, and they wanted to stay for a few more hours, and he just outright would not think of it, which I don't blame him. The rule says pool is to be closed at 9 o'clock, but he took it too far as people were pushing back figuratively and not physically, and they were saying, well, we're going to just stay here for a few more minutes, you can come back whenever. And he got physical with one of the people there involved, and a fight ensued unnecessarily. Instead of, you know, if it was a problem where they weren't listening or obeying the rules, he could have called law enforcement. Of course, law enforcement could not have made an arrest because there was no crime at that point, but they would have spoke with the tenants and said, look, y'all, you know, he's got to lock the gate up, and that's how it is. Take it up with the manager on Monday. But he didn't do that. He got physical with them. He got confrontational with them. He didn't know how to de-escalate. He didn't know how to resolve it through communication, and he became the authoritative figure unnecessarily, and it really caused a big problem for him because he did get arrested. The other person at the pool also got arrested, and it was just a lot of to-do for nothing. This is all a direct result of training, and again, my conversations with reporters over the last 6 months has brought them to this true happening. This is what happens over and over again. Security officers trying to do the job, but because of a lack of training or understanding of the difference between rules and regulations, I told you about a story last year in Seattle where a security officer patrolling a retail center saw a lady squat behind a dumpster and urinate, and he handcuffed her because she had broke the law. He thought that she was breaking a law and that he could detain her, call police, but when the police got there, he was arrested for unlawful restraint because he handcuffed her. In Seattle, urinating, it seems, in public, is not a big deal. It is a ticket. There are places like New York and California and other states where, again, you can defecate and urinate and show your private, you know, pretty much anywhere, and it's going to be a minor offense. Unfortunately, the security officer, trying to do his best to do his job, didn't know that it was just a cite and release situation, and so he was the one who was arrested and continues to face a felony charge. This does happen time and time and time again. Training, 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 experience, experience, experiencing, and hiring the right candidates for the right positions and jobs. Unlike a staffing company, we can't send Tom, Dick, and Harry to every assignment that we get because each one is different. Each one requires a different type of experience and training, and every hat doesn't fit every head. It's just that's the way that it goes. We'll be right back. We got to take a quick break, but I have a lot more to talk about. I do want to tell you about this lady in Florida that spent 35 years protecting children at one school and attended every homecoming and every event. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector. Finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the SLED training? Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933.
They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933.
If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. Privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info, and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. PrivateOfficer.org. Wanda Smith was hired to be a front gate security officer, a job she thought she might have for just a little while, as she was a working mother trying to support her family. But just recently, after 35 years at the same school, doing the same job, protecting student after student, faculty after faculty, she has retired. She began her career 35 years ago at the Dr. Phillips School in Orlando, Florida, and she retired just before the Christmas season. It's not often that we see employees of any company or any type of business that spend 35 years there at one location doing the same thing anymore. And yet, Security Officer Smith did just that. Same company, same location, same position. DP Dr. Phillips High School Principal Jackie Ramsey recognized her at a retirement celebration held on November the 28th at the School of Performing Arts Center. For approximately 6,261 school days, the campus remained secure. But more importantly, Security Officer Smith has a legacy of keeping over 40,100 students safe every single day for 35 years. An amazing accomplishment by any feat, by any person. Smith had learned of the position through a friend. And when she started, there was no guard booth out front until a wood shop class built one for her. Her job was simple. Stop and check every vehicle that enters the gates, including the students, the parents, the visitors, and even Uber Eats. She looked out for the students on a daily basis, especially if outside work crews were on campus, and built a great rapport with those students. They respected her and trusted her even more to confide in her. Smith worked under six different principals while at Dr. Phillips School. God laid it on my heart to be there for the kids, the parents, and the employees, and I couldn't turn him away, Smith said. In her final week of school, Smith was showered with presents, gift cards, and messages from students, both there now and those who had come through those front gates. This was a treasure for me. They wrote notes to her, wishing her the best, thanking her for all that she did, her amazing work to keep every person safe. Wanda Smith has attended nearly every homecoming dance and prom for 35 years. And at her retirement party, Smith had the drum and choral performances, slideshows, gifts, and loving stories of the gratitude of the students and the staff. Back in the day,
Wanda's booth was a little baby blue wooden shack on wheels, and every morning they'd have to hook up her cart and move it out front for her. I think it was the class of 94 or 95, she said. They were planning their senior prank. They had respected Wanda so much that they went to an administration and they asked them, could they please deface and spray paint her booth? They promised they would have it back to its baby blue colors the next day. And they came that night before and they wanted to just pull a little prank. But guess what? The night before, someone stopped them from defacing the thing that represented the security of the campus. The seniors completely defaced other areas. And eventually someone did deface the security booth with their grad year and their graduation slogan. But as promised, they all came together the next day and they painted it back to its baby blue color. Ramsey said Smith knew every student, every car, every parent, the UPS driver, the mail carrier, the maintenance workers, the fire marshal, the district level bosses, and the cops who patrolled the area. And when a suspicious car did drive upon the campus without stopping one time in 2007, she quickly radioed school resource officers and the administration, two deans, two assistant principals, and the principal all rushing to the hall gate before the vehicle occupants could ever enter the courtyard. Police, school resource officers quickly rounding up the men. In response, the chief of high schools said there's no place more difficult to secure than Dr. Phillips High School. They have 55 acres and over 50 entry points to the campus. But they have the best front gate staff in Orange County Public Schools, he said. The lady that works that gate does it better than anyone ever could. She stops every car. She greets every person with a smile. And then she gets down to business, wanting to know their business on campus. Others also shared many stories during Smith's retirement party. I had a good time. I really did, she said, during the retirement party. They told me to look good, and I was looking real good. Smith's retirement plans are simple. Relax after a few years working two jobs, a few too many years working two jobs, she said, just to feed her family and make ends meet. She wants to relax a little bit. Besides working security for Dr. Phillips High, she worked in the custodial department at a college for 20 years. She retired from that position November 30th as well. Her two sons and six grandchildren live in the area, so she will enjoy more family time with them. The respect people have for Wanda is endless, says Principal Ramsey. She says, I'm blessed beyond measure. God is so good.
Some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
She told me not to talk to strangers. You told me not to cross the street without looking both ways.
You told me not to touch the soap. You told me not to do drugs. You told me not to drink and drive. You gave me so many messages about how to stay safe. Why didn't you keep me safe by properly storing your gun?
Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab-resistant vest or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code, 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it.
Benevolent team members, this is a way for each and every one of you to get involved and to do really great work. It doesn't cost you anything but a little bit of time, and that's very infrequent. Benevolent team members are the boots on the ground in your area. When a security officer is injured in the line of duty, you're the one who will help to call them, cheer them up, and make sure that security officers in the area also do the same. Send out some good get well cards and some good vibes, and really help the security officer to know that they are supported, that there are others out there who care about their situation, their injuries, and also you're there to help let us know how they're doing and keep us well informed so that we can continue providing the levels of services that we do. We also have openings for area chaplains. If you are a chaplain for a volunteer fire department, a police or sheriff agency, please send us a quick email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, so that we can begin the process to get you involved. It doesn't cost you any money. In fact, we'll reimburse all of your costs and give you some pretty big perks, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. I also want to mention that we're currently looking for a member of our awards committee. If you would be interested in serving in that, send us an email at the same email address. And currently, we're opening our chapters up again. There's a simple process. Again, this is really a way for you to get involved in the professional security industry in your area. You hold a meeting once a month for about 1 hour. You go through some training, some news updates, and we'll have a conference call every month with you, and I think it's a good opportunity for you to get involved with your community and with others in the LP and physical security in your area. If you're interested, of course, again, just contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. There are other ways for you to get involved. Just let us know that you're interested, and we will point you in the right direction. Remember, you can also be a news spotter anytime that you see news happening involving public safety, loss prevention, organized retail crime, physical security, law enforcement, officer down, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We will reward you. We certainly will. I think that many times people want to get involved. They just don't know how. And this is an opportunity for you to let us know of your interest, and we will definitely connect with you and hook you up to all of the different ways that you can get involved with Private Officer International and with private law enforcement. Okay, we've been telling you now for about a month about the upcoming round tables, the area training that we're going to do, and there's been some concern. We've received some concerns, some emails about stretching it out too far. If we hold these trainings or roundtables for law enforcement and security in a large state, it would not make sense for people to drive from the top of the state to the bottom of the state or east to west and vice versa. And it makes sense. That computes with us. So what we're going to do is we're going to begin both the roundtables and the regional training on our home turf like we did about 5 years ago. We held some area trainings on the East Coast in our area where people were able to commute 1 or 2 days and participate in all that we have to offer. So right now we're putting together a new list of roundtable states. We're going to begin with Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, and possibly Florida. And we're going to hold two per state in the larger state. So for instance, let's say Florida, we'll hold one down in West Palm Beach and one up in the northern part of the state. Same thing with Tennessee. We'll hold one in Memphis and one in Nashville. That way people can get to them in a timely manner, both with the roundtables and with the training. We'll be holding a training and a roundtable in North Carolina, in Charlotte, and in Raleigh. We're getting those letters together to send to both security companies and police agencies. As soon as we get enough response, we will announce the confirmed date. That is the best way that we know to be able to hold these events in a manner in which everyone can attend and not have to go through 8 or 10 or 12 hour drives. I can testify. I drive those 12, 14, 15 hour trips regularly. When I say regularly, I mean weekly, to and from different various training points and schools, and I can tell you it's a long drive. So we will get that together. Will it be overnight? Will it take a week, a day? It will take weeks and possibly a month or more to get the first one on the books, but we will definitely let you know. Speaking of traveling, we will be in the New Orleans area. If you live in Mardi Gras world in Louisiana, please helpdesk at privateofficer.com. Please let us know that you're there. We'll be there both for R&R as well as availability to do some training. So if you would like to have a one-day training during that time, let us know. We'll get it scheduled for you. Right now, we really are pushing use of force, lethal and less lethal, confrontation and de-escalation, mental health, and we do a lot of church security. Helpdesk at privateofficer.com. We are going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Biddeford 113.
Biddeford, go ahead.
113, could you respond to Pool Street in the area of UNE? Have a report of a motor vehicle crash. Two vehicles head-on, multiple PI. Great.
Okay, 10-4, I'll be in route.
Are you a recently retired or maybe active law enforcement officer looking for a different future, maybe owning your own business, former military, public safety, private security professional, EMS, or the fire service, looking for a new way to make a difference while running and owning your own business? At Public Safety Services, we provide services to those who protect us around the world. I'm talking about the police, the sheriff's department, the military. Our organization provides community service officers, private law enforcement, prisoner transport, traffic investigators, and many other public safety service related services to law enforcement agencies across the nation. You can own your own business, be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Contact us at publicsafetyservices.org. Let's talk about how you can make a difference today while owning your own business.
Remember, if you see news happening any place, not only here in the U.S., but worldwide involving private security, public safety, organized retail, crime, LP agents, or law enforcement, send us a heads up at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're monitoring close to 3,000 news sites worldwide, but of course, we're going to miss things here and there. And hopefully you all will keep us abreast of everything that you're aware of in your area. We do have quite a bit of breaking news. You could read our news 24/7 at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Join us on social media at twitter.com/privateofficer, on Facebook at facebook.com/privateofficerinternational. We're going to start this morning here on the news segment telling you about some bad news involving security officers who will be spending upwards of their entire life in prison for use of force incidents that have occurred over the last 3 or 4 years. I mentioned to you on the program last week, there were a number of individuals convicted of murder of private security, but unfortunately, now there is the other side of this, and that, of course, is that security officers sometimes, unfortunately, use excessive force, and in the last few years, there have been dozens of security personnel charged with murder, excessive force, and an array or sundry of many, many charges, all because they did not know the type of force to use. Coming out of Houston, a man charged, originally he became a security officer at a nightclub and shortly thereafter robbed the nightclub and killed an employee. He's been sentenced to 40 years. During the trial, it came out that he actually had gotten the job specifically to kill them. A security officer in Denver, Colorado, also convicted this past week in the shooting death of a man, according to police, who was homeless, was not armed, and did not pose any type of threat to him. The security officer will be spending 25 to life in prison. And close to Colorado, in Salt Lake City, Utah, another security officer was found guilty. His name was Timothy Richard Lutz. We have actually followed this man's case since the first information came out of the shooting. He killed also a homeless man who was walking away and was not armed and did not pose a threat. He will be serving 2 to 20 years in the Utah State Prison, according to the press release, on a lesser charge. We, like I said, followed this and several of the other cases from day one, but unfortunately, as I said earlier, when I'm talking to the press, I tell them the same thing. Many of these cases stem from a lack of training and oftentimes security officers finding themselves in positions and situations that they just don't know what to do. And I believe that in two of these cases, at least two of the cases that we know of here, that I'm speaking of, they did not have less than lethal weapons, so they had to resort to lethal force. In other news, two women have been charged in Northbrook, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago, after they robbed a store and then used pepper spray on the loss prevention agents. According to police, they were able to catch her. They were using wire cutters to remove anti-theft cables from coats during the theft. Destiny S. Jackson of Chicago and Nyla L. Pace of Harvey, Illinois, Both have been charged with retail theft, aggravated battery to a private security officer, retail obstruction of identification, possession of theft detection device remover, and mob action. Pace is also accused of the same charges. Police say that in Illinois, it's an additional criminal charge to assault a security officer. A man has also been charged with threatening a security officer in Nashville. He pulled a knife on the security officer at 2nd Avenue North and Stockyard Street during a fight that was in progress. Security notified law enforcement and they quickly got there. The Metro Nashville police were able to find the suspect and take him into custody. No injuries were reported. This is one of these headlines that I keep bringing up over the last 3 years. In State College, Pennsylvania, two more school districts have decided to look at establishing their own police forces after doing without school security or SROs since the riots of about 3 years ago. According to the article, Penns Valley Area School District has begun talking to students, parents, and others about establishing their own police force. They will be voting on that later this month. Also, the State College Area School District, also midway in the process of forming their own police department. They have had SROs from local police agencies, but they have decided to form their own police forces. The state of Virginia allows for private police to be formed for entities, government entities, private businesses, and others. And I believe that, like I've said for the last 3 years, you will see more of this. In Trenton, New Jersey, a longtime high school security officer was assaulted, injured, and had to be transported to the hospital. Several security officers were caught on the video trying to break up a large fight when a female security officer was knocked to the ground, trampled on, and sustained injuries. No word as to the extent of those injuries. Coming out of Newport News, Virginia, the site of the shooting of a school teacher by a six-year-old, they have finally decided to purchase 90 metal detectors for their schools. Newport News Superintendent Dr. George Parker III said the boy accused in the shooting arrived to school late in the morning of January 6th and that his backpack was searched by hand after someone reported he may have a weapon. The person who searched the child's bag did not find a weapon. However, sadly, as we all know, a short time later, 25-year-old school teacher Abigail Zwerner was shot and is still recovering from that. Now the school system has decided to go ahead and purchase those metal detectors. An off-duty Tennessee security officer who was employed by Allied Universal, 61-year-old Kevin Cunningham, was killed in a traffic accident on Interstate 840, the loop around to I-40 in Nashville. This happened in Williamson County, Tennessee, south of Nashville. According to the information that we received, he had been a security officer in that area for quite some time, but was currently employed by Allied Universal. A man who had been tried four times in the murder of a security officer in Baltimore, Maryland, is now a free man. The new top prosecutor dropped all charges Friday against the man who stood trial four times for the same killing, freeing him from behind bars and ending a controversial case that repeatedly raised questions about police and prosecution misconduct. Keith Davis Jr., accused of fatally shooting Pivotal Race Course security officer Kevin Jones in 2015, was released and will not be prosecuted again, said the new prosecutor. Several police officers were murdered this past week. I was asked by a reporter again to compare the police versus security officer deaths. And as I explained, when it comes to the murder of police or security officers, the security officer murder rate is always much higher. In Denver, Colorado, their city park rangers will begin a new program. They're rolling out mental health professionals to drive and roll and work with Denver Park Rangers. That area has an organization called Support Team Assisted Response, also known as STAR. They help to deal with people that are living outside, homeless, dealing with addiction. Instead of handing out citations, the chief park ranger says that this will go into effect later this month. Police in droves from local to county to state responded to Stanford, Kentucky elementary school there in Lincoln County after blood was found in quantity on a school floor. Police investigating thought that someone had been shot. They were able to follow blood out into the staff parking lot. They did not locate anyone at that time, but through investigation, determined that a school custodian, Travis Simmons, 32, had shot himself accidentally the night before while he was working at the school. He didn't report it. He didn't call for 911. He didn't call for an ambulance, but police have arrested him and charged him with unlawful possession of a weapon on school property. Police said that his injuries were serious, but not life-threatening, and that he is lucky to be alive. In Berkeley, California, at the University of California, Berkeley, a skeleton, a human skeleton, was discovered in an unused building on the university campus. Both campus police and local authorities responded. Police are investigating. There's no determination as to the manner of death, but hopefully they say the Alameda County coroner will determine that cause of death within the next few days. Several lawsuits were filed last week against security companies. This one in Las Vegas also included a casino. They say security did not intervene before a customer was shot. Attorneys for the shooting victim, Eric Aguilar, are also suing the Venetian Resort Las Vegas and several security guards for the shooting that happened on the casino floor in January 2021. Another lawsuit also, this is coming out of California, also says a security officer failed to respond at a nightclub in California in San Diego during a large brawl where gunfire occurred. A customer was injured, and now he is suing the bar and the contract security company. We do see this more often than not. Many security officers, unfortunately, are unarmed. An NYPD officer this past week committed suicide by jumping off a high-rise building. He had sought some mental health assistance previously. The officer's name has not been released. However, the NYPD continues to lose members of their department yearly because of this. In Bessemer, Alabama, a Jefferson County security officer is being credited today with saving a man's life. A man is alive and breathing, Jefferson County Sheriff's Office says, because a security officer jumped in to help out while they were out to eat in Bessemer. The miracle happened at her favorite restaurant, Bright Star. He was turning blue and having trouble breathing. He stood up. The security officer who works for the county, Jefferson County, was in uniform and quickly went and began performing the Heimlich maneuver. After several attempts, she said her training kicked in and everything worked out great. It wasn't long before he spat out the item that he had been choking on and began breathing. She also got a picture with that person, known as BJ Parker. The two strangers now have bonded, they say, for life. And we have reached out to Jefferson County so that we can prevent that security officer with a life-saving award. A North Miami man has been arrested after stealing a cookie and then threatening a Wawa convenience store security officer with a fork. It seems that the man stole the cookie, but when the security officer stopped him, Kervin's Pierre Lewis, 32, pulled a fork and threatened to stab the security officer. Police quickly arrived and located the suspect and took him into custody. He's actually been charged with a felony, aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon, and resisting law enforcement. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, a man is at large after assaulting a Harrisburg security officer, causing him to be hospitalized. Police are searching after the incident. They did release a photo, but they don't have any additional identification of the suspect. This situation happened when a confrontation occurred. Coming out of Seattle, Washington, police arrest a man after threatening a security officer with a paintball gun in downtown Seattle. Police responded there after the man pulled a paintball gun. Police quickly was able to round him up at the intersection of 3rd Avenue and Cherry Street. They also took him into custody. They have arrested him for felony harassment. Charges were also requested for unlawful use of weapons. He was booked into the King County, but there is no bond information with the news release. Remember, a lot of news happening across the country. We need to report this news. We need to make it public. We need for people to see it, to understand really what security is going through these days. When you see news happening, contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We'll be right back. We're talking today about the link. Security is the link in keeping our communities and our world safe. We'll be right back. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Human trafficking is slavery.
And it happens all over America.
Any child, any woman, any man could potentially become a victim of human trafficking.
I am a victim of labor trafficking.
I was victim of child sex trafficking, but now I own my body.
Human trafficking is any kind of forced labor.
It can happen to anybody.
I am a mother.
I am an author.
I am a son.
I'm an advocate.
I am an educator.
I'm a sister.
I am a brother.
I'm so much more than what happened to me.
I am strong.
I am brave.
I am outspoken.
I am compassionate.
I am a survivor.
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 I am a survivor of human trafficking.
They say if you want a wish to come true, never tell anyone. But there is one wish that can make the difference between life and death. And this wish can only come true if you tell someone. Please let your family know you want to be an organ donor.
Grew up together. He got
his license when he was 16. We were going to the beach, and Luke was driving, and I was in the passenger seat. And all of a sudden, I don't remember anything. I wasn't conscious for it. We got hit by a drunk driver. I feel like I knew right away that it was never going to be the same. I don't know. The doctors, they were telling me I should have, I was so lucky to be alive. When I found out that he died on impact, I didn't really feel lucky. And sometimes I still don't. Drinking and driving is completely unnecessary, and I think it's selfish if you do it. It's just, it's not worth taking that risk, because you never know what's going to happen.
Percent of the food that we produce here in the U.S. is wasted. That's 133 billion pounds of food a year. A lot of this food gets wasted at the grocery store. If a carrot doesn't look perfectly right, it gets thrown away, even if it's totally safe to eat. But the biggest waster of all is us. On average, every American throws about a pound of food away every single day. Here are some ways you can stop wasting your food. Number one, meal prep. You don't have to be a business influencer to plan out your meal. If you plan before you shop, you're less likely to find a moldy vegetable in the back of your fridge. Number two, store it right. Storing food in the right place keeps it from going bad. And your refrigerator has those produce drawers for a reason. Become best friends with your freezer. Your freezer will hold things for a much longer period of time. Number three, be scrappy. Literally, learn to cook with things that you would normally throw away, like carrot tops, herb stems, brown avocados, and pickle juice. You want to save money and like saving the planet? Save your scrap.
For the last few weeks, I've been talking about the importance of the private security industry, the people who work in it, the companies who provide the service, and security in general, whether that be the physical security or the electronic security or the technology now involved in security or a combination of some or all of the above. I've said quite seriously that private security is that initial link to the safety of life and property, businesses of all types, schools, communities, and it's that link to the protection of our world. And I know that sounds like a big, big, big task, and it is. We talked last week a little bit about loss prevention and how they are the key. They are the link that keeps retailers safe. I've often talked about how private security across the country and around the world often are first responders, the first to be on the scene in a medical emergency, the first to be on the scene in an active shooter situation, the first to be on the scene when a crime is underway, the first to be on the scene taking the initial steps to help preserve life and to protect property. But unfortunately, many do not take this profession seriously. And some days, it is obvious to me that security providers themselves, companies, business owners, also do not see the value that they or their employees offer, and they underestimate the seriousness of the job that they are performing and whether or not that qualifies them to provide an increased level of training and really look at their profession, their business, differently. Imagine for just a moment that the security officers who guard our nuclear sites, who are on the front line 24/7 protecting our power grids, those who are on duty 24/7 protecting government facilities, military bases, and our international and regional airports. Without those people, without those uniformed and plainclothes security officers, the electronic surveillance, access control, and all of the different elements, which are links in the chain of security, but without all of those services, we would be in bad, bad trouble. Forget the Wild Wild West, because it would have nothing on today's chaos. Look at what happened during the George Floyd protest and riots across the country. We had cities under siege. We had businesses shut down, not for hours, but for weeks. We had tens of thousands of millions of dollars of damage to property. We had 3 security officers murdered during that time on duty, and multiple others critically and seriously injured. If you're a fan of the old Westerns, all that you have to do, and I know it was TV, but it was also reality, all that you have to do is look back not that long ago at how the trains were robbed. People were killed just for saying the wrong thing, looking the wrong way. Lawlessness was the way of life. Most towns didn't have law enforcement. There was one regional marshal and possibly a deputy in some areas that covered a huge area. Many would encompass states today. And when something really went down bad and they had to hunt down real serious killers and gangs, they would deputize civilians in the town. Anyone who had a rifle, a shotgun, a pistol. Anyone who was willing to risk their life and put their life on the line. They were the front line of protection for their community. Private security services today, as I have continued to say for 20 years since I've had Private Officer International, the services that we provide as a profession today are unlike, 20 or 30 years ago, but not so unlike that it's very similar to what private security really offered back in the early 1900s and late 1800s when they began to come on scene providing private protection of trains, mines, stagecoaches, communities. They acted like law enforcement, and in some cases they were law enforcement. Today, the link in the chain of overall security, again, has fallen back onto the shoulders of security officers, even more so today, because of the lack of law enforcement nationwide. Police chiefs today will be the first to step up and say, we don't have enough manpower to respond to every call for service coming into our agency. And so, therefore, many departments have eliminated the types of calls that they will respond to. And in the last few years, I've read off several lists. One of them included up to 43 different types of calls that they will no longer respond to. Many agencies have lists of a couple of dozen. You have a minor accident, they're not coming. You have a situation where your child is disobedient and, you know, they're not obeying you, they're not coming for that. Someone is having a mental health emergency in many areas, police do not respond to that. You have a drunk person on the sidewalk, they don't respond to that either in many areas. A burglar alarm sounds, that's not a crime in progress. That's an electronic device that's activated. We don't know if it's serious or not. We don't know if it's actual burglary or not. In fact, the National Burglar Alarm Association says between 94 and 99% now of all activated burglar alarms are false alarms. So they don't go to those either. Who do you think that the community, the business owner, the people in your neighborhood, your city, your county, and even your state is looking toward to protect them these days? More and more security companies are providing the services of law enforcement, patrolling neighborhoods, communities, doing street patrol and call response. So yes, private security services start at the very bottom with basic access control and go all the way up to federal protection of courthouses, military installations, huge nuclear facilities, energy plants, and high-value targets that our enemies would love to destroy are now being secured by private security, both through the physical static and patrol, as well as the electronic cameras, devices, alarms, and technology. Who do you think secures most, if not all, of our internet services? Private security, electronic digital security companies, not law enforcement. And many of the online crimes these days are also being solved by, yeah, you guessed it, private investigators, private security agents, cybersecurity specialists, not the ATF, not the FBI, not Homeland Security, no, private agents. The services provided these days by the private security industry overall far and away supersedes anything that public agencies are doing. I was asked twice this past Friday by different reporters, what do you think the number of security officers are these days? And I had to explain, well, that's kind of a loaded question, because if you're just looking for uniform security, it might be around a million. But then you have loss prevention agents, and you have cyber security investigators and analysts and agents, and then you have bouncers, and you have a whole bunch of other types of security that's out there doing the job every single day, protecting life and property, protecting cyber crimes and solving cyber crimes now. I estimate probably a couple of million overall when you include all of those different areas of security. Yeah, we can say physical security, probably about a million, and that would include loss prevention. But I think it's far more than that. It's definitely far more. At one time, it was two times the number of law enforcement, and that wasn't that long ago. So we're probably close to 2 million or more. It just depends on how many different categories of the private security industry that you want to include. Some people don't think bouncers have anything to do with the security industry, but they do. They're the one keeping the peace at the nightclubs, at the various locations where bouncers are employed. They're the ones breaking up the fight and risking their lives and oftentimes being injured or killed. They are doing security work. Some people don't believe loss prevention agents are part of the security industry. Well, but that's silly, because they're making tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of apprehensions, detentions, and arrests, and recovering millions of dollars worth of stolen property. Of course, LP and ORC agents are part of the security industry. Some people don't want to include burglar alarm responders and people who work in the electric security field. And I've even had people over the years tell me ATM security officers aren't part of the security industry. Well, you're wrong, because they are. But the services that private security provides is everything from very basic level access control, observe and report, all the way up to the highest levels of governmental protection. We have had, over the years, since I've had the POI organization, we've had at least a couple of dozen contract security officers killed while protecting courthouses, federal buildings, and on the job for the federal government. We have had a lot of security officers injured. Some at apartments, some at nightclubs, some at shopping centers, at all levels of protection, they've been injured and killed. No one could even imagine all of the services that private security protects or conducts. Do you know in the state of Kentucky there are security officers who do nothing but protect high-value racetrack horses? They're worth hundreds of thousands and some even millions of dollars. There are security officers that do nothing but fly helicopters over the oil pipelines and private property that's under the control of large corporations. We have security agencies who guard foreign cargo ships when they come into port. We have private security that contract with the Coast Guard, with the Army, with the Air Force, with all areas of the military for lots of different types of physical security as well as electronic security. One of my clients at Armor College is a true retired CIA agent. He now has and has had an alarm service business where he only provides camera and access control security for the highest level of government employees and former government employees. Private security today is definitely the biggest link in the chain of providing security for our country, our nation, our world. Because if you go to Canada, you go to Europe, you go to some of these other countries, guess what? They're doing the same thing. Private Officer International has dozens and dozens of members in other countries. We monitor many countries' security. The Philippines, Australia, UK, France, Italy, Canada, and Africa, and many, many other countries. And you know what? They have the same issues. They have the same training issues. They have the same employment issues. They have the same use of force, assault, and murder issues. They're being killed just like here in the U.S. The services that the private security industry provides now is much greater than anyone could imagine, much greater than at any time in the history of private security, and it's going to grow as we get more and more involved in all levels of securing people, places, and things. It's just as simple. A police chief told me a number of years ago, he said, if I had known about a company like yours that provided the services, he was talking about one of the security companies I own, we would have hired them. We would have hired the parking enforcement division to do parking enforcement for the city properties. to put the boot on and issue the citations and all of that. More and more police are now giving some of their services over, contracting them to private security companies, and you're going to continue to see that. Almost every week, there's a new story someplace in the media talking about private policing and how that is now a reality, and they, of course, argue whether if it's a good thing or a bad thing, just like any other situation, but in other countries, they have found it to be a good thing. So if you work in the private security business in any area, physical or electronic or cyber, you're doing a good thing. Yes, we need some changes. We need better pay. We need benefits. We need better training. We need better recognition. It is happening slowly, and I predict that will be sped up as more and more companies take on a higher level of security duties and responsibility. Thank you for being with us this week on the Private Officer Beat Radio. Remember, you can contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com at any time with any question. Read our news, breaking news, every single day, privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Go to our website, privateofficer.org, and sign up to become a member today. Until the next time, y'all be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you back here on the radio.